You know, this Advent, we've been in a series called Incarnation, and we've been looking at the names and the titles of Christmas, the names and the titles of the miracle of Christmas and the Incarnation. And so this miracle, this mystery of Christmas, we call Incarnation. And now for some of you, that might be a new word you've never heard before. You may have heard the word reincarnation before. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about incarnation, which means in the flesh. And as we think about it, our goal is to be able to understand and appreciate more fully what God has done for us as it relates to what we commonly call Christmas. And so, for example, if I were to ask probably any one of us, every one of us, I imagine the response to the question, why do we celebrate Christmas? Would probably be 100%, well, we celebrate Christmas to remember the birth of Christ. And you know, you're correct. You're absolutely correct. But if we stop right there and say, we're just celebrating the birth of Christ, well, we don't quite get the full impact of what we're celebrating at Christmas. Along with celebrating the birth of Christ, what we are ultimately celebrating is this miracle that we call the Incarnation. And so I want to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John chapter 1. And we want to look at really John's gospel as he tells the Christmas story from a little different perspective than the gospels of Matthew and Luke. And John gives us here what I think could be called the most amazing verse in the Bible. Now, when you say that, that's quite a claim to make, because there are many amazing verses all through the scripture. But I think right there, maybe at the top of the list, would have to be John 1. Now, let me put it in a little bit of context for you. We've heard the scripture some this morning. And so John begins his gospel with these words, sort of hearkening back to how the Old Testament begins, where in the beginning, God. So when John begins his gospel in John 1:1, he says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Then you get to verse 14, and listen to what John says. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. Now we've seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And I think that verse, John 1:14, in a very concise way, just captures really what is one of the most amazing truths of our faith. The Word became flesh. Flesh. It is really one way of saying that the Word became human in every possible way. A body, flesh, blood, flesh, a spirit, a soul, a will, emotions, completely human. And so what we're talking about here is we're talking about this miracle on the next slide, the Incarnation. The Incarnation. If you really just really want to know what it means, then you just have John 1:14 that says, the Word became flesh, became a human being, God without diminishing His deity, and becoming sinless humanity, fully human, yet fully God. It is ultimately the doctrine of Christmas. And so we celebrate Christmas. And a big part, a huge part of our Christmas celebration, and I would dare say that some would say the most important part. I've got a couple of grandkids that are very young, and I would imagine that they part about Christmas, the most important part about Christmas, the biggest part about Christmas, well, it's the gifts. Of course, it's the gifts. Well, what would Christmas be without the gifts? You know, yesterday, Donnell and I got out a little bit against probably better judgment. We really didn't have really Christmas shopping to do, that we had other things that we were taking care of, but it didn't really matter. Wherever we went across this city, it was crowded. There were people everywhere. And I never stopped to ask anybody what they were doing. I think I know what they were doing. They were doing their Christmas shopping. It was coming right down here to crunch time. And so I just got thinking about the question, you know, how much time do people really spend on Christmas shopping? You know, you just sort of might think about yourself. How much time do you spend shopping? It reminded me of this, of a poll I saw some time ago that was done by that mega TV shopping channel, QVC. And they did a poll, and what they discovered was that most men can knock out their Christmas shopping in one day. In one day, easy. It covered, most men can just knock it out in a day. They also discovered that two-thirds of men can get it done in less than half a day. They can really get it done in less than 3 hours. 25%, a full 25%, one out of four men said they can knock out their Christmas shopping in less than an hour. And 3% of men, I think with a sense of pride, said they can do it in less than 10 minutes. And I couldn't argue with that. I thought, well, you know, that's probably really accurate. And what was most, I think, telling about that is that men are not in the slightest bit ashamed of whatever thoughtlessness that might reflect. But we are super proud in our efficiency. And we kind of wonder why you women can't get it done any quicker than that. So it's not surprising probably to any of us that women will spend more time on Christmas shopping and gift buying. And it's not surprising that more money. Now, that doesn't reflect that men are more generous. What it does reflect is men are more desperate. And when you are desperate and out of time, that often will equate into more money. You just quit asking how much does it cost. So I just need it now. So that's what gift giving has been like, I guess, down through the ages. But what I've kind of noticed is that there has been this real growth in gift wrapping. And, you know, it can be quite expensive to have somebody wrap a gift for you. I know that firsthand. And I kind of believe that it might have been a man that invented the gift bag. So a gift bag is a wonderful, wonderful idea and invention. But gift wrapping, I've noticed, has become really a very big part of Christmas gift giving. And really, you know, that you kind of wonder what's under that wrapping. And so there's those days of anticipation that's building up to Christmas and the opening of the gifts. And so everyone is wondering, child and adult alike, I wonder what's under that wrapping. And special gifts require special gift wrapping. And I think the more significant and special the gift, you want to take a little more concern, effort, even expense if necessary, to make sure that it's wrapped appropriately. You know, I was reading about the Korean practice of the act of bagaji. And bagaji can be spelled with a B, be spelled with a P. You'll see it both ways in English. I was just fascinated. I just kind of ran across familiar with this. It is the art. Bagaji is the Korean art of wrapping gifts, wrapping things in cloths. And these would be special cloths, expensive cloths, like silk and fine linens. And so it's a special pattern. Almost the gift wrapping is as significant, if even not more significant sometimes, than the gift itself. And so these gifts are wrapped in these bright colored cloths, patterned cloths, and it's a special wrapping that means that the gift is significant. and the giver intends great good to the recipient of the gift. It reminded me that the wrapping is significant and is as important at times as a part of the gift itself. And as I thought about that, I thought about what God has given to us. And we've looked at the incarnation in the sense of names and titles. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And we looked at these titles, these names, Savior. He is Jesus. And when God sends His Son, He gives Him a name. He comes for a special mission. He is a Savior. One of those titles, one of those descriptions of God's gift to us is literally the gift. He has given us the gift of His Son. And so when God, the great gift giver, gives us the greatest gift He could give us, which is ultimately Himself in the person of God the Son, He wraps that gift. In other words, He wraps Himself in a very special way. He wraps Himself in flesh. He wraps Himself as a human being. The writer of Hebrews writes about it in Hebrews 10:5. He says, therefore, when Christ came into the world, this is the Christmas story according to Jesus. When Christ came into the world, He said, Father, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body. Flesh and blood, a body you prepared for me. And so this perfect gift, this perfect Christmas gift of Jesus Christ comes to us in a body, wrapped in flesh. And in Jesus, God is giving us the greatest gift that He could ever give us. He's ultimately giving us everything we would ever need. It is the perfect Christmas gift, and it meets every need that we have. Listen to these words of the Apostle Paul in Galatians 4. It says in verse 4, but when the right time came, in the perfect fullness of time, God sent His Son. So He gives His Son, we're talking about Christmas, talking about the incarnation, born of a woman, subject to the law. Verse 5, He says, God sent Him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that He could adopt us as His very own children. Verse 6, and because we are His children, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. And then verse 7, now you are no longer a slave, but you are God's own child. And since you are God's own child, God has made you His heir. Now, just look for a moment. When you consider this gift, when you receive this gift that God has given to us in Jesus Christ, you know what you're receiving? He says, well, first of all, you're receiving spiritual freedom. There is release from bondage, and you are set free spiritually. He says, you become part of a spiritual family. You no longer are orphaned. You no longer are isolated. You now are part of a spiritual family. And with that gift, He gives you then the power to live this life through the Holy Spirit. And then on top of that, there is the bonus of this spiritual inheritance that is ours. And we share in that inheritance with Jesus Christ, God's own Son Himself. It is our inheritance. And there is no better gift than that. And so when you think about gift giving and how it became such a part of Christmas, and you really don't even can't even hardly contemplate and think about Christmas without gift giving. And it is fun and it is enjoyable, but I can also tell you that it is stressful and it can be very expensive. And so it just sort of comes in with both the pluses and the minuses in the gift giving. And you're searching for that perfect gift that you can give to that person. But when you think about it, I was wondering, you know, why is gift giving part of our Christmas tradition? And why does it have such a central part of our Christmas tradition? And I think that the answer that most people would give and that we just sort of would naturally fall back to, well, it must be because we see the wise men who come. And when they come to the manger in the stable, they come bearing gifts. And the wise men there give gifts to Jesus. So when we give gifts, we're really imitating what the wise men have done. And that's probably a part of that tradition. But I think the tradition goes even further back than that. That when we talk about gift giving, imitating wise men, we're really following the example of God himself. He is the great gift giver. And we find him all through the pages of Scripture, always giving gifts. And so ultimately, we are following that example of God in giving gifts and expression. And so what I want to share with you here is just the three simple things of what we can learn from God about gift giving. What we can learn about God from gift giving and what we need to remember, what we need to know and to remember about gift giving. So here's the first one quite simply. We need to learn from God why we give. You know, why do we give? Probably sometime this Christmas, you're going to have to come up with a gift. And in the moment as you're either buying that gift, you're searching for a gift, you're running by the, you know, Quick Trip for the gift, whatever you're doing, you're going to be asking this question, why am I giving this person a gift? You know, why am I giving this person a gift? And now we get down to our motives that come from gift giving. And gift giving should always be a joy. It should never be a burden. We know it can feel like an obligation. It can be an expense that we resent. But it should be a joy to us. You know, sometimes we even gift gifts to impress people. You know, we just want to kind of impress them. And it's really the motive behind it. And so it's good sometimes, good all the time, maybe to stop for a moment and to say, why am I giving this gift? You know, the best reason to give a gift, there are two, I think these are the two best reasons to give a gift, okay? One is, and probably the very best reason, is out of love. It just is a source of joy to give to love. Out of love. And you know, we know that. If you have children, you love to give your children gifts. And if you have the ultimate blessing of grandchildren, oh, man, you can, you know, you just love to give those grandchildren gifts for no other reason than you just love them and you would give them anything. Now, the second best motive in giving, and what makes a gift a really great gift, is it really meets a need. It meets a need that is a value, and that gift is a benefit to the person who receives it, and it meets a need for them. And so when you think about when God gave us the gift, the ultimate gift in Jesus Christ, God himself in the flesh, because he loves us. And that's where the motive is coming from John 3:16, we read, for God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only son, his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting eternal life. Or 1 John 4:9-10 says, God showed how much he loved us. He showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world, by giving us Jesus Christ so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but on the contrary, but that he loved us. And then he sent his son as a sacrifice to meet the greatest need that all of us have, is to take away the sins of the world. You know, by giving Jesus, God is giving the gift that meets our deepest need to be forgiven of our sins and to have eternal life, life after death. And then Christmas then becomes a time for us to remember ultimately how much God loves us. And then as we give gifts, it reminds us we can be a reflection of God's love to us as we give gifts to others and be expression of our love to them, which is ultimately the expression of God's love. So we need to remember why we give. And the second, we need to remember and learn from God how we give. How we give a gift. And you think about how we give. And I was thinking about different verses that talk about how God gave us the gift of Jesus, his son, in the flesh. And I thought about these verses in Philippians chapter 2. They're not on your outline. They're on the screen. But Philippians 2, and verse 5, it says, now you should have the same attitude, the same mind, the same way of thinking that Christ Jesus had. And then when it talks about that, he says, what Christ Jesus did, he said he was in the very nature, he was God. He was God himself, but he did not consider this equality, being God, something that he would hold on to and never relinquish for his own advantage. He made himself nothing. He humbled himself, taking the very nature of a human being. In a sense, there's an act of humility that comes from giving someone a gift. Or you think about the Christmas story in Matthew chapter 2. And there we recall when the wise men came from the east, they came bearing gifts. And so we read in Matthew 2:11, it says, on coming to the house, the wise men saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. And then they opened up the gifts that they brought. They brought treasures of gold, signifying he is a king. They brought frankincense and expensive spice and incense. And one way that would be used to say that the prayers are going up, and since he is a high priest, they brought myrrh, which was an expensive spice that would be used in the death process and embalming, which symbolizes he is a savior. And they brought these gifts and gave to the king, to the high priest, and ultimately to their savior, and they did it with great joy. You know, most name tags on a tag just have two words. They say to, and whoever the gift or and they say from, whoever is giving the gift. And sometimes I think that we should just add a third word on those gift tags, because. And really think a minute, because. Why am I giving this gift? Well, because I love you, because you're awesome, because you're my wife, because you're my grandchild, because you're my friend, because I got to go to this lame party, because I had to give you a gift, because you're my boss, I don't even like you, and this gift's going, no, because. And you think about the motive. But when I think about God and the name tag that he would put on his son, Jesus Christ, it would probably be something like 1 John 3:1, where it says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, what great love he's given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is indeed what we are. And then thirdly, what do we learn of God about giving? Well, we get down then to the essence of what we give. What we gift, and that is the gift itself. And there are several qualities that go into making a perfect gift. And one of those qualities of a perfect gift is the appropriateness. Is this gift appropriate? Is it appropriate for the occasion? Is it appropriate for the relationship? You know, there are only within my life probably two people, now three people, that I would ever give jewelry to. I'd give jewelry to Donnell, I'd give jewelry to my daughter Katie, and I'll give her the biggest diamond she wants, my little granddaughter Cora. I mean, I'll just buy her anything. But I'm never going to give anybody else jewelry. It wouldn't be appropriate for our relationship. Because that gift then expresses something that's not really in that relationship. So the occasion often warrants that along with the relationship. You know, another quality of a gift is really that gift of perceptiveness. That you really understand the giver somehow knows the recipient. And so you give a gift that communicates it. Well, I know you. I know you. And so you give them a gift that you know that they would enjoy or they could need. Or, you know, another quality of a perfect gift is the value. In a sense, it communicates generosity, selflessness, you know, even sacrifice sometimes when you give this gift communicates something to that. So you think about just those qualities of the perfect gift. And I got thinking about this verse in Romans where Paul says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Wow, you talk about appropriate. You talk about perceptive, extravagant, lavish, generosity, and value. But look at this verse in John 3:17. You know John 3:16, but John 3:17 says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And so he gave this Son to save us. Gift-giving is one of the most powerful forms of communication. Every gift given says something. Gifts are powerful forms of communication. I love you. Thank you. I'm sorry. Didn't think about this to the last minute, and this is all I could come up with. But they all say something, both about the giver and the recipient. And so what God is wanting to say to us, what God is wanting to say to you and to me with this gift that he has given us in his Son, Jesus Christ, is ultimately, I love you. I love you. And I want you to be part of my family. And so I want to redeem you, forgive you of your sins. And the only way that is ever going to be possible is made possible because of the incarnation. The Word became flesh. Christmas. Ultimately what we're celebrating. And so the writer in Hebrews 10 goes on to say, that we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And you know, the Lord gives us then a wonderful way to remember the incarnation, and that is communion. And so today we're going to take Christmas communion to remember, to celebrate the incarnation. The Word became flesh. We invite everyone who is a follower or believer of Jesus Christ, whether you're part of our church or not, but you're part of the capital C Church, a follower of Christ, you are welcome to take communion with us. Those who are going to serve us are going to make their way here to the front. When they serve you this morning, as the tray comes by, notice that there are two cups in the same slot. You be sure to grab both two cups stacked on one another. The bottom cup has the bread, the top cup has the juice. So it'll be one pass. Take both cups out of that place. Hold those cups until we've all been served, and then we'll eat and drink together. And as they're preparing the service, I want to pray. We're told when we take communion, it is a time to remember what God has done for us and gives us time to reflect about what he's done for us, how he's done it, and why he's done it. It gives us time then as recipients of that gift to examine our hearts and ensure that we receive that gift as we should receive the gift, because part of the great act of gift giving is receiving. And Jesus tells us in John 1:12, to all who did receive him, those who received him, to those who believed in his name. And that's ultimately all that you do to receive God's gift of Jesus is believe of Jesus. He has given them the right to become children of God. Let's pray. Father, today, this Sunday leading right into the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ, ultimately the incarnation, the Word, God in the flesh. And what a wonderful gift, wrapped in sinless humanity, yet not diminishing his deity, ultimately that we could be in heaven. Because as the song said, we sang today, you did not want heaven without any one of us. And so we thank you for that gift that you've given us. Father, forgive us of our sins. We believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we trust now, we receive and remember and worship you today for the great gift given to us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.